morning, everybody. My name is Mark. If you don't know, well, my name's Mark, even if you do know me. Man, it is so good to be here. I can't believe it's been a year since we did this thing. Man, this place is kind of nostalgic for me. We gathered here last August, and we, like Grace Point, commissioned us to go and plant a new church. So the day before that, so that was on a Sunday morning, I think it was maybe Friday night, our staff had sort of a going away deal for Jim and myself, where we gathered at the home of Todd and Rhonda Zimlich. And when we were there, Josh and Jacqueline Cooper gave me a going away gift of a dad joke book. And so Saturday night, when there was a group of us, like as we did last night, a group of us gathered here in this space to kind of get this place ready. Man, the tech team does so much work. Chris and Josh, the team, man, thank you guys so much. Yeah, do it. Fine. Go for it. So we gathered here Saturday night to do that, and it was my first crack at telling them some of these amazing jokes that I heard. So this place is nostalgic for me and is a core memory for me. I thought it'd be good if I shared some with you. Is that okay? I'm going to do it either way, so you might as well just be okay with it. So I really love telling dad jokes, especially when he laughs. Just pretend it's funny. It's better that way. Did you guys know, probably didn't have this word on your bingo card today, did you know that diarrhea is hereditary? It runs in your genes. Right, so this last one, I distinctly remember telling this joke. There's a group of us sitting here, like just waiting around for some equipment to show up, and we were like sitting around this space over here, and I had just read this joke out of the book, and I thought, this is so good, I gotta tell him. So here's the last one, here you go. There's the officer on the phone, he calls and he tells this husband, he says, "Hey, I'm sorry, sir, it looks like your wife has been hit by a bus." And the guy responds back with, "Well, yeah, but she's got a sparkling personality." Yeah? Right? Woo! Woo! All right. So that was a year ago. Man, I keep stepping on this microphone stand. That was a year ago. Let me take you back to, will you pull those lights up a little bit? I kind of want to see these people while I talk. Is that okay, Chris? Can we just do that? Probably not what you had planned. Sorry, but here we are. I'm going to take you back to 13 years ago. 13 years ago is June of 2012, and I had just started working at Grace Point Church. Your lead pastor at that time, Reverend Timothy Hughes, was, I think 34 years old. Now they're all going to know your age. So he was 34 years old. Well, the church at that time was called Fairlawn Heights Wesleyan Church. How many of you, show of hands, attended Fairlawn Heights Wesleyan Church? Look at all these people. Man, what a legacy, right? And soon after I got, not because I got here, but soon after I got to the church, they decided to change the name. It was a couple years in, and the process by changing the name went like this. Anybody could submit a request or a suggestion for a name. Like, and the board would receive those, and they would then narrow it down to three names, and then they'd vote across the, you know, they'd have those three names, and there'd be a congregational vote, and that's kind of the way that went. So my entry didn't win. I submitted the name Cultivate Church, which I think is interesting. All these years later, apparently I'm still into this idea of soil and planting, and I don't know. I planted a church called Rooted Community Church, but here's what I remember about that time. Like, I remember being in a board meeting when Grace Point was officially voted on as the name of the church, right? And I thought, okay, that sounds fine. I can roll with that. In fact, it was the one I voted for. I don't remember what it was up against, but I voted for the name Grace Point, and that's how that happened. And here's the deal. All those years, like, I think back, all those years I spent on staff. Like, for 12 years I spent on staff at Grace Point. I'm not sure we ever talked about it. If we did, I don't remember. Probably being distracted by Rhonda, probably. So we were in staff meetings. We, over and over and over, I had this thought. We never talked about it. What are we named that for? Like, why are we called Grace Point Church? And I'm not sure we ever even talked about it, but I think it'd be cool to talk about it today. I just want to talk. This is something I've been thinking about for a while. This is some things I've been processing for a few months. And I just want to ask you this question, and then I'm going to hopefully answer it. What is a Grace Point? What is a Grace Point? So I asked trusty old ChatGPT this question, And here's the response it gave. You can see it on the screen there. A grace point is often used in Christian teaching to describe a specific moment or place in life where God's grace or blessing becomes especially clear and undeniable. It's a point of recognition where you can look back and say, will you say this with me? Right there, God met us, God helped us, God was faithful. Good, let's say it again, ready? Right there, God met us, God helped us, God was faithful. So this intrigued me. I kind of ran down this hole now. I was going to chase this down. I wanted to know not simply what was a grace point, but now I stopped to consider what were like my grace points. Like what were ours as a church? What were these grace points we experienced as a church? Like I just started to process that. So over the last year, what are the points of recognition that I could look back at and say, right there, right there. God met us, God helped us, and God was faithful. So I immediately thought of this great story, this fantastic story in the Bible. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 7. You can turn there if you want. I'm not even going to put it on the screen. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this story. Israel was in a really rough season. I mean, they are in just a really, really rough season. Spiritually, they were dry. They were a mess. They were kind of all over the map. They had drifted from God. They were chasing after all these false idols, and they were kind of just hoping that if they did so, it'd bring rain for their crops. Like the Ark of the Covenant had been like taken by the Philistines and been captured. It was one of the deepest, like darkest moments in Israel's rich, rich history. Their hearts were far from the Lord. And after 20 years, after like 20 long years like of misery and oppression under the Philistines, the people finally realized something. They needed to turn back to God. It was time to turn back to God. So Samuel, the prophet and judge there, they didn't have a king yet, but Samuel was the prophet. He's like in charge, right? Like he called everyone together and he basically said, hey, listen, if you want to come back to the Lord, if you want to come back to God, there's only one way to do it. You have to like get rid of all these idols, commit yourself completely to him and make sure that he is the only thing and one that you worship, only him. Like you have to set your heart and your eyes and your lives on the Lord. So that hit home. That's actually what they did. They threw away their idols. They gathered in Mizpah, which means a watchtower, a place of agreement or prayer or recognition. And they basically had what kind of becomes this like big like national prayer gathering. They fasted. They confessed their sins. They asked God for forgiveness. It was a really, really powerful like moment of rededication for these guys. While Israel was praying, the Philistines heard that the Israelites were all gathered together and they were all like there and unarmed. And they thought, well, hey, there's our chance. Let's go take care of business. Let's plow into there and let's have our way here. But when the Israelites heard the Philistines approaching, they saw them coming. They heard them coming. They said to Samuel, hey, don't stop crying out to the Lord. Like, don't do it. Please don't stop crying out. He will save us. We know he will, but you've got to keep crying out to God. So Samuel didn't hesitate. He took this young lamb. He offered it there as a burnt offering to God, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed earnestly. And right in the middle of that prayer, something unbelievable happened. God answered. Like, something unbelievable, something amazing happened. God answered. And the Philistines, they did indeed draw near, and the Lord like made this big old loud thunder that just caused chaos. I mean, it just like caused total confusion for the Philistines. The Israelites seize this moment. They charge forward. They then defeated the mighty Philistines. It was an epically huge win, and it was a gigantically huge turning point for Israel. And after the battle, Samuel didn't want anybody to forget what God had done for them. So he took this large stone and he set it upright between Mizpah and a place called Shin. And he named it Ebenezer. He named it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. And then he declared these words. The Lord has helped us to this point. The Lord has helped us to this point. Now, it might be a bit of a reach for you, but I kind of think that sounds a lot like a grace point. Sounds a lot like a grace point. So if you'll go with me here, I know today's a celebration, but I wanted to just take a moment and share with you some really clear moments when we as a church can look back over the last year and say, right there, God met us, God helped us, God was faithful. And so I just have five quick things. I'm not going to be too long. I know your kids are in here, and I'm going to make this simple on you, I hope. First of all, numeric growth. I recognize this isn't everything we celebrate as a church, but I think it means something. I think every person that comes to your church matters to God. They have a story. They're a person with a name that that Jesus died for. So we celebrate numeric growth. Rooted launched with roughly 40 household units there, you know, some big families, some small families, some singles, some adult children who lived in the same household. Like roughly 40 units from Grace Point went to launch Rooted with us. And a year later, I think it's pretty cool. You don't have to clap for all these. I mean, you can if you want. That's not really what I'm fishing for here. I just want to show you what God has done. A year later, we have roughly 30 non-Grace Point families that have joined us. So we think that's cool. We think that's pretty awesome. The statistics around church planting are really truly bearing themselves out in front of us. They are holding true with growth. The next one is spiritual progress. Now, this is pretty cool. Our first year, we baptized 5 individuals. I think that's awesome. We got to baptize 5 people. I think what's, yeah, sure, go ahead. You're going to get tired of clapping, so you might as well shut that off. We baptized 5 people. I think that's pretty cool. I think what's even more cool is that none of them came from Grace Point. All 5 of those people were people who just came to this community. Like, it was a really, really neat deal that are finding Jesus for the first time and deciding to take their faith public through baptism. A half dozen or so. I mean, I don't know. I should be keeping count. Nate would prefer I keep count. A half dozen or so gave their lives to Jesus for the very first time, and their eternities are changed forever. We're excited about that. That you should clap for. I'll let you clap for that. Good? I think that certainly qualifies as a Grace Point. It sure does for us. Now, if I'm honest, at first I kind of wish that number was higher. And I kind of still do. I mean, if 100 people are giving their lives to Christ, I'd still want it to be higher, right? There's a lot of progress, a lot of work to be done. But I kind of honestly, I went, is that it? Is that it? I wanted that number to be a little bit higher. But then I stopped to consider my own unique experience. And here's kind of the way it was framed in my own mind. My dad, a lot of you know him, was the first guy to come to Christ in his family. He was the first guy to come to Jesus of all of his siblings, and he has lots of them, and his parents. Like, he's the first guy that said, I'm going to make a decision to follow the Lord. And mostly he wasn't really into Jesus at first, but he was into Diana, my mama, and she was into Jesus, so he said, all right, well, I'll play along. I can get on board with this. So my mom knew Jesus, and she said, well, I'm not going to be the guy who doesn't. My dad said, well, I guess I'll bite. So he played along for a little while. He wasn't into Christ, but he was into mom, so he came to Christ. And eventually he surrendered like his life to Christ, and it became authentic. And if you know my dad, he's about the most authentic person I know. I won the lottery with my parents. And here's what I stopped to consider. Because of one guy, because of one person, Bob Giffen, well, maybe 2 people, Diana and Bob Giffen, saying yes to Jesus, generation after generation after generation can know Jesus. I know I do. My siblings do. Our kids do. I mean, we're 2 generations down below my parents at the moment. They're not great-grandparents yet. They're pretty good, but they're not great-grandparents just yet. We're 2 generations down so far, and I can count, I don't know how many people that fit into that, 20, 24 people that now know Christ, and their families and their families and their families can know Christ. So at first I thought, I don't know, 5 is, I wish it were higher, but man, can I tell you the difference one person that meets Jesus can make? It can change generations. So we're celebrating those 5, and I think it's why, you know, we see in Scripture, the angels rejoice when one person comes to know Jesus, because man, that can just exponentially grow and go bonkers. Like, our faith was never meant to be private, right? It was meant to be personal, but certainly not private. So those 5 men, they're jumping in. They're joining us to proclaim the good news of Jesus to Topeka. Facility provision. This is interesting. We've had 2 different locations so far. Well, actually 3, if you consider for a little while this past spring, we jump back into Grace Point. Maybe you didn't know that. There's a few Saturday nights for about a month or 5 weeks. We were in Grace Point kind of as we transitioned out of one building into the next, and both of the facilities we've been in allow us to do the ministry that we really set out to do, and that is like the dirty, hard neighborhood ministry. Like, we think that's what the Lord has called us to. We want to be a presence in our neighborhood. We want to be a neighborhood that's better because we're there. We want to be in a church that's in a neighborhood that if we ever leave, they'll go, oh no. Like, really, we want to be a neighborhood ministry. Both places we've been in have allowed us
to do that. We settled into Oakland this past summer. People say don't move in the summer, don't do new things in the summer. Church experts say never do that. It's hard, but we did it, and here we are. It seems to be going pretty good. I connected just this past week, maybe a week and a half ago, with an assistant principal at the elementary school there in Oakland, where, man, if you want to be in the heart of ministry in a neighborhood, you better get in touch with the school, right? So the assistant principal, basically, this is unbelievable. I don't know why, and if I say this out loud and it's on camera, he may lose his job. I don't know. But he basically gave me an open invite to come and be there as often as I please. I mean, it is a great, great, great opportunity for us to do ministry in Oakland by connecting with families, connecting with students, connecting with kids there at the school. We have experienced facility provision. Man, God has just been so good to us to allow us to do ministry in a way that we saw the Lord wanted us to do it. I mean, if we sense that that's what he wanted us to do and then he didn't do it, that wouldn't have added up. So it all adds up, right? We are so excited for the facility provision that he's given us. And we think Oakland's going to be home for us for quite some time. There's great opportunities for us to do amazing ministry there. What a better way to affect a community and to infect a community with the love of Jesus than to get in with the public school. So we're excited for that. We're excited to be in the area of Oakland. I'd say that's a grace point. Financial blessing. Here's a fun one. When we launched a year ago, some of you know this, some of you don't. When we launched a year ago, Grace Point, the board and Pastor Tim and the leadership graciously said, hey, here, we'll basically give you this much money. So it was over three payments. Like when we launched, we were launching in October. In March, they gave us a pretty substantial amount of money. The following March, they gave us another installment. So we're two down so far. And I told Tim when he told me, when he committed those funds to us, I said, hey, listen, man. If we don't need the money, I'm not taking it. He said, right. So I said, for real, if we don't need that money, like we are not taking it. Like I want it to be used for church planting. I want it to be used for church multiplication. And let's just call it what it is. Your account has a lot more money in it than ours right now. And I'd rather see it bear interest there than in our account. It's all going to go to the kingdom. I'm good with that. And he said, all right, well, we'll see about that. Well, Tim, we're seeing about that, bro. Like we are not taking, I've told him, we are not taking that money. I am so excited to say that to you. What it means is the people of Rooted have given faithfully. And what it means, good, that's great, good. I also think it's kudos to the people of Grace Point. I think it means you've developed faithful givers. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I can certainly look at our finances and say, right there, God met us. God helped us. God was faithful. And he's displaying it through his church. It's pretty awesome. Here's the one I celebrate most. This is what we'll always celebrate most. We will never stop celebrating people at Rooted, and I'm sure you won't at Grace Point either. Our staff has been nothing short of a Grace Point to me. Jim and Chris and Gretchen, I love you guys. I'm thankful for you guys. The work you do is incredibly, incredibly hard. Grace Point, all three of those people I just mentioned came from Grace Point. You guys developed leaders and shipped them out with me, and it's an unbelievable testimony to the work Grace Point's doing to expand the kingdom. It's an unbelievable testimony to the obedience these guys have to do hard work for the gospel. Man, I'm so thankful for those guys and for each and every one of the folks who volunteer at Rooted. You just give and you give and you give and you serve and you serve and you serve. You sacrifice, you miss church to help with security or to help teach our little ones how to learn to follow Jesus. We have people that help us set up and tear down and parking and people that lead community groups and youth leaders and connections team members. By the way, at our church, we say every single person that comes, if you're a part of our church, you're on the connections team every week. Grace Point, you should do the same. I'm just saying, you're all on the connections team every single week, whether you're wearing a name badge or not, right? Man, we have, I don't know, goodness gracious, the list just goes on and on and on. People that serve in our tech ministry, our band, our prayer team, folks who serve, like just take care of our finances and our giving and our books and that sort of thing. Like we celebrate people so much. I'm celebrating you today. I'm telling you, if I haven't said it well enough, Rooted people, all those folks, I am so thankful for you. Through you, I'm able to say right there, God met us, God helped us, God was faithful. So I love all those grace points for us. I love that. One of the things I really, really relish is the opportunity to bless others. And I want to be a grace point to others. Like, I want that to be our narrative. And people say, man, those guys are a grace point to us. I think the Lord calls us to be both, you know, that through how we serve and how we give. Those are both core values of ours. I'm excited. Don't hear this as bragging. Hear this as the faithful giving allows us to do this. I'm grateful to say that we're being a grace point to other people by what we're doing through our finances. We gave away 38% of our money last year. 38% of the money came through our door. We sent back into Topeka. Oh, actually, we sent some to as far as India. I don't know. It went across the globe. I dare say, please don't hear me bragging. I dare say there's not many church plants in their first year can give away nearly 40% of their money. That's how faithful you guys have been. That's how faithful Grace Point was to say, here, go with a whole gob of money. And now you're going, yeah, you just gave it away, you dummy, right? It's been so good. Here's some other things that we've done. We fed hungry kids. We've donated over 200 pairs of shoes through an awesome partner of ours. We donated 150 boxes of cereal at Christmas time to hungry kids. That was a way of the school sending them home with them. They didn't have to prepare any food. Their parents didn't have, they just showed up with a box of cereal. It was that simple. We purchased and delivered Christmas meals and gifts for over 150 households in Topeka this past winter. I could go on and on. I really could. I just want you to hear, like, we want to be ridiculously generous. We think that's what the gospel demands of us. We think that's what our response should be. We want to be ridiculously generous. And so far, we've been able to be generous. And we've served our community lavishly, too. Not just giving. We serve. So, like, we have these all-city serve days. We do basically once a quarter or so. They're days on weekends. We don't even have church. Well, not in this way. We don't gather and sing songs and stand on the stage and give a sermon. We have church because we are the church. We gather together. We just go serve the community. And after over this last year, we have spent 650 man hours loving Topeka. 650 man hours with just a handful of people. That said, sure, I don't know. Why not? Let's try that. Just loving Topeka well, just serving Topeka well. And if you round up to the nearest million, we've spent 1 million man hours doing that, by the way. That's no small feat. Our vision at Rooted is to show the love of Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world by whatever means necessary. We want everybody to know the love of Jesus. And we think that if we keep serving them well, we'll earn a voice to then share the love of Jesus. We'll show them the love of Jesus, then we'll earn a voice to share the love of Jesus, hopefully in a credible and an inviting way. So we've been relentless about showing the love of Christ to our neighbors with an end game of then sharing the love of Christ to our neighbors. And if our church grows, we celebrate that, right? We celebrate when people come join us and come sit in our seats and come get involved in what's going on. We celebrate that, but that was never really what it was about for us. Like, our goal was never to grow. I know this seems really weird for a church planter. It was never to grow a Rooted Community Church. It's always been about growing the kingdom. It's always been about growing the kingdom. And that kind of happens in two ways. We want to grow our impact, and this one's kind of just like it, but they at least go hand in hand. And we want to crowd heaven. And it's okay with us if those people don't come sit in our seats. It'd be cool. We'd love to know them, but like we figure if they're not going to come, and just to be clear, most people won't come sit in your seats. So you got to go find them. They're in your workplaces, they're in your schools, they're in your neighborhoods, and we've just decided as a church we're going to go into workplaces, in schools, in neighborhoods, and find them so that we can share Jesus with them. So today is a day to celebrate, right? Today's a day we're celebrating that Rooted is one. It's also a day to celebrate that, you know, while we're like separate in practical ways, Rooted Community Church and Grace Point Church are one. Amen. Like, we're together, we're united in this. And as I look back over the last year, perhaps our most significant Grace Point, like a way in which God's blessing showed up so evident and so clear, has been Grace Point. Hallelujah. As in, you know, the folks who gather to worship at 5400 Southwest Huntoon. I drive by that place often. You know what I say when I drive by there? Right there. God met us. God helped us. God was faithful.
Amen.
Amen. I'm grateful. Yeah, it's good. Right there. God met us. God helped us. God was faithful. It's a place where leadership, if you didn't know it, I'm just going to tell you, it's a place where leadership is made of the right stuff. It's a place where people there are willing to do radical sacrificial things to grow the kingdom in Topeka and beyond. So I told you I came here to ask you a question. What is a grace point? And I hope that I've helped, you know, give you some clarity. But interestingly enough, I think you all here at Grace Point Church are actually the embodiment of what a grace point really, truly is. You are a grace point to me. You have been a grace point to Rooted Community Church in ways that are beyond what I could describe here today. So I came to ask you that question. I also came here to tell you from the bottom of my heart to Tim and to the leadership and to the board, dadgum, thank you. Thank you, man. I think I stood on the stage and said multiple times before, man, that's awesome leadership. Most pastors won't do that. I don't think what I have said to your face publicly or maybe privately to your face is just thanks, man. It's pretty awesome. So I don't know what's ahead, right? I have no idea what's ahead. I know we'll keep pressing on. I know there's a lot of work still to be done. I know the Lord will be faithful. I know the Lord has helped us to this point. And I know he'll keep doing so. Today's a marker in our story. It's just another marker in our story, right? It's just another one of still lots to come. I know that Grace Point and Rooted will continue to partner together in significant ways, whatever ways we can going forward to build the kingdom. Multiplication is a core value of ours, and I know it's a big deal to Tim. It's a big deal to our district. It's a big deal to Jesus, I think. It's something that we're both committed to. It's something that Tim and I are both committed to. Our churches are committed to. We are committed to multiplication. So I'm going to invite Tim up here for just a moment because today we collectively want to be a grace point to another church. We want to be a grace point together to another church plant in Overland Park, Kansas. I want today to be a day where these guys look back and go, right there. Right there. God met us. God helped us. God was faithful. Tim and I have dreams. We talk about this, of planting churches together in the future, and just kind of, while we're independent, we kind of do our own thing, they do their own thing. We still want to be a family, if you will, a family of churches that are just getting after it together. We still have desires to do that. And while we're not, I don't think, ready today to plant our next church, we are ready to, we do desire to join Jesus in what he's doing in another church. So Tim,
So Grace Point, you know this already because they were here with us in August, but Shay and Haley Bogier are planting a church in Overland Park in the Kansas City area. They both have a lot of connections and history with Grace Point. Shay's dad was actually on staff for a while. Haley grew up there at Grace Point. So we just thought it would be a good idea for us to continue to talk about and think about multiplication, to invite them to come, and we're going to pray over them as they get ready to go and start this brand new church. So Shay and Haley, why don't you come up here? You can bring your kids if you want to. And now you just kind of have to, because now I said that. I apologize if that wasn't the plan. So Mark and Tara have a connection with Shay and Haley as well. Right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Small world. So Shay's parents, Tara and I went to Phoenix a couple years ago to what's called church planting assessment. Basically, you go before all these people. Cody is one of the assessors. Basically, you go before all these people that decide to green light you or red light you. Do you have what it takes to plant a church or not? So we went. We were planting with or without their green light. But nonetheless, we went. And two of our assessors there were actually Shay's folks, man. That's crazy. Isn't that ridiculous? All the way in Phoenix. Like, it's crazy. Small world. And I guess Haley was apparently in Tim's youth group.
Yeah. You know. And she turned out fine.
Yeah.
So
it's fine. Yeah. So, yeah.
So this is, what's your name again?
Danielle.
Danielle. Danielle is a part of their core team. I didn't realize you guys were going to bring part of your core team. Yeah. Yes. That's even better. Even better. So if you were with us last year when we prayed over Rooted, I actually asked you to extend your hand as a way of saying, I'm praying for them. I'm going to ask you to do the exact same thing as we pray over Shay and Haley. So can we do that right now? And the local church is the name of their church.
Yeah, and I think while we do it real quick, Ben, you can come. We're going to sing one more song. You guys can start making your way up here. We're going to get on to it pretty quick. So
let's pray. Jesus, we are so, so grateful for the work that we just got to celebrate and hear about and think about and remember over the last year. And God, we know that you have unbelievable plans for the local church. We know that there are people in Overland Park and the greater Kansas City area that need to know you. And the way that they're going to know you is through the people like Shay and Haley and their team. And God, we just pray blessing upon blessing upon blessing over them, for them, through them. God, that you would inject them with endurance and patience at the same time. We pray that you would protect their marriage. We pray that you would protect their kids. We pray that you would continue to show them each and every day not to lean on their own understanding, but to trust in you in all their ways and watch as you make their path straight. God, we look forward to being a part of their story in whatever way that you would ask us to in the future. And God, we ask that as this local outpost of your church in this world makes its way, that bits and pieces of heaven would come to Overland Park. We love you, we praise you, and we bless them in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right.
No, you didn't think we just brought you here just to pray over you, did you?
No. So,
not that that'd be bad, that's fine.
It would be good. You just heard Mark talk a little bit about that last piece of investment that Grace Point was going to make in Rooted. Well, as we were talking about this, we said, why don't we redirect it to a different church plant? So with that gift and other gifts from Grace Point and from Rooted together, we want to present you guys with a check for $75,000 to the local church.
Man, we want today to be a day you can look back and say, man, right there.
Yes.
Right there. God met us. God helped us. God was faithful. We don't need any credit. We just want to watch you cry like a sad. Yeah.
Right? Ow. This is not a real check.
Yeah. Bank ain't taking that.
Might want to hold on to this, but... But we love you guys. We are behind you in more ways than this. But we want to say, go get them. And we're for you. All right?
Good. All right. All right. We're going to sing one more song together. We'll